Greetings in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ's name this morning. I was such richly filled this morning. I haven't been with you for a while, and I just immensely enjoyed your discussion here that you all took part in. And the last song here really blessed me. Kind of what I want to speak on today. I'm going to use Psalms 27 for my message, but Lord, speak to me, strengthen me, teach me, and fill me. And if we go down to 5 and 6 and 7, it says, lead me, feed me, grant. Oh, grant an enabling grace to me. And then the last verse says, use me. Use me. What a prayer. And yeah, if we can be true to that, I know that God is going to be true to it. His end, he is going to be true. So yeah, let's Psalms 27. Let's turn to that. And some time ago I read this psalm, and I think for a devotional I had or whatever, and verse 4 especially jumped out, and I'm going to just talk about verse 4, but I'm going to read, let's read the psalm here, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemy and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have a desire of, the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemy round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemy, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, when you read that psalm, it certainly is a brother that stays closer than, you know, anything else, isn't it? God will stay closer to us than anything. He will not let us down. And David, he is such an encouragement. If you're discouraged, just read some of David's happenings and his you know, his life. Read about his life in Samuel and in different places. The things that he had his back up against the wall many times. But he was always there. He said, "Lord, you are going to help me." His faith, it was just, He knew. He didn't know the end. He absolutely did not know the end. There's quite a few, if you go to Samuel and read about his life, and especially So let's just think about David going out against Goliath. Did he know that he was going to kill him? Did he know he was going to win that war before he went? Probably didn't, but he knew he had a God that was stronger than Goliath. And that is the way we should go into our battle, into our things that, our back is up against the wall. When we don't know where to turn to, if we depend on that God that is bigger than any problem that we have, that is bigger than any mountain that you can see or not see, that is bigger than your discouragement, that is bigger than your whatever it is. When we know that that's the way it is, that's the way we should go into battle. But yeah, let's get back here to David when he wrote this psalm here. He had enemies. And we think of David as, as powerful, but he was a man just like we are. And can you imagine, at one time that David was barefooted, he was running up the mountain and he was crying. He was running away from his son. His son was trying to kill him. And he was running up the mountain barefooted, had nothing. He was the king of Israel. But he had his God. He had a God that took care of it. In fact, in this situation, in this situation and in David's situation, when he, the first time, I believe it was the first time when he, I think it was when Saul was trying to kill him. So he went out and he left. Jonathan, and there's a good point of when we talk about a man that sticks to you, Jonathan's love for David. That's a really, really good story. But Jonathan gave him his coat, his royal coat. He gave him his spear, his bow. He gave him a girdle, the belt that held everything apart that he needed to go out. And this was probably the best, the very, very best equipment. And so, is that why Jonathan got killed later on, because he didn't have the best equipment going out on war? I don't know. That's a question. But I brought this up to say something. Oh, it was at this time that David, when he left Jonathan, and when he went out into the wilderness, he took 400 men with him. What kind of men did he take with him? It was the leftovers. It describes these men as depressed, in debt, discontent, and of a bitter soul. Now, how would you want to build an army with people like that? They wouldn't pass the test today, would they? No, they would not. But that's who David brought with him. And they were very successful, weren't they? Only for one reason, because they had a God. David had a God that he depended on. And so I think it's just a lesson for us. Now, in Psalms 27 here, the first three verses, it just tells us that we don't need to fear. And this was so great in David's life, because he didn't fear when he went out against Goliath. He said that I come, yes, you come with these big weapons and you come this way, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And that is always the good ways to go into our battlefield, or to go into, or to attack whatever is at the moment, is our fears or whatever. He said, I will not fear. There's no need to be afraid with the Lord. Christ said, be not afraid, little flock. I have overcome the world. When the world wants to press in, and it does, and we'll get that to that later maybe, but when the world wants to press in or wants to get us, let's remember that Christ, through his death and his resurrection, he overcame. He overcame the world. He won the battle. He won the battle. So what we need to do is to just stay with Christ. He got the victory through the resurrection. That's that power that we can have. The enemy, it shall stumble and it will fall. Satan has actually, it doesn't have any power over you if you're with God. It says here in verse 3, though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'll be confident in the Lord. So there is no reason to be afraid, or there is no reason to be scared, or whatever it might be, or whatever is in our life. But let's get here to verse 4. This is the verse that I want to just zero in on and talk about. One thing I have a desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, the first thing that, you know, what he is saying here is why he wants to seek after this and why he wants to, why he has a desire. And then he answers that in the end of the verse there. But one thing I have a desire of, a desire. So that is the question for us this morning, is we would like to have the end. We would like to have that, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and have the beauty of the Lord. But David says here, I have a desire. So the question for us this morning is, do we have a desire? Do we have an unction? Do we have an appetite, a will for his commandments, for his ways, for his word? That is the question that I have to ask myself. What is your desire? It's here David says, I have a longing. I have a longing. Do we have a longing? Have we set our heart upon him? A desire, a longing. This is what David is saying here. Do we have a desire? If we're a born-again Christian, if we're born again, you know, this is what life looks like in this verse. We're going to have a desire for what belongs to God, what is God's things, or the way of God, or even what we had in Sunday school this morning. We're going to have a desire to be friendly and to be a brother to brother and to be a person like it describes there. We have a desire to measure our words, like it says in the verse there. A word fitly spoken is like a apples in. It says it different in different ways, different translations, but so that comes very first. That's the very first thing. Do we have a desire? Do we have a desire for heaven? Do I have desire to move on to eternity, to heaven? I think if I would ask for hands up, you would all raise your hands. He says, yes, that's where we want to go. That's where we want to go. But God also has given us something has blessed us with a desire to live here on earth and to do his will and to live here for him. And I think what this verse is also speaking about, it is to dwell in the house of the Lord doesn't mean heaven necessarily. It means here on earth also, because heaven starts here on earth. It starts here. So, can we say with Jesus, as Jesus said, you know, he had many times he expressed his desire to be in the work of God. In fact, his longing to have a communion or to break bread and wine with his disciples, he had a desire to do that one more time before he went on. I have a desire to be in church this morning. So we can ask that question. I have a desire to hear the word of God. I just have to look at my own life. Do I have the desire like I used to have a desire? Do you know that our technology today is I am not concerned on what is on the internet, because from the very beginning, there's nothing new on the internet that wasn't from the very beginning. Sin has always been sin. And in each generation, regardless what kind of gadgets they had, if a heart desired to do wrong and to follow those things, there was always the way they could do it. There was always means that they could get what they wanted if they had a desire for those evil things. So there's nothing new on the internet. But what my concern is how much time I spend on it. The time that I don't spend, you know, that I could spend in the Word of God, or and that gadget that I have here in my pocket, it's also handy for the Word of God. You know, we can have the Word of God on there. It's maybe a little easier to read the Word of God actually than it was. You know, to find certain verses and stuff. It's a little easier maybe. We can use it right or we can use it wrong. But the time is what I'm concerned of. So Peter says, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So the desire for the word, and I believe there was in the prayer this morning, one of you prayed that we might grow, in this spiritual life. And that is the way we'll grow. Desire of the word, to have the desire of the word, that we may grow thereby. That is the way we grow. And one way, I just want to say one way. The other way is also we talked about the brotherhood and so forth. That is also. So this psalm is what David is saying. He has a great desire to be in the kingdom of God. A hunger, an appetite, a longing. A longing to be there. I don't believe in the second working of grace, but I do believe in renewal. And sometimes we have that to do that. We just have to renew ourselves and say, well, you know, we're going down the wrong road. We just have to renew ourselves. We have to admit that maybe our first love, as it says in Revelations, that our first love just has cooled off and we're kind of lukewarm. And we know what happens to a lukewarm person. It's not good. It's simply not good. My thoughts were on this when I thought about having a desire for the things of God and how David had a desire here. Satan also has a desire, doesn't he? He has a desire to have you. He has a desire to that you would follow him instead of God. That is what his way. There was a time also back in Samuel's time where at that time there was judges. And God's people, when we think about this, God's people had such a desire to be like the world that they wanted a king. Notice that we don't want to join the world, but we would like to have a king just like the world does. We would like to operate just like the world. They had a desire to operate like the world. And they said, give us a king. And Samuel told them, he said, you know what's going to happen if you operate like the world? Is that king is going to take your sons, your daughters, your fields, your vineyards, the tents of your seed, your men servants, your maiden servants, the best of the young men, the donkeys, the tents of your sheep. He's going to tax you, and if that king is going to take these things from you. But they wouldn't listen. They said no. They had such a desire to operate like the world. Is it our Anabaptist way of living or way of doing things? Is it getting kind of muddy? Is that line kind of getting muddy? I don't know. I feel sometimes that we do. And I have to look at myself. The very first is, how do we operate? Do we operate like the other kingdom, or do we operate, you know, like the kingdom of God? There's two kingdoms, and we just have to admit that. There's two kingdoms, and Christ made that plain. He said, if I would be from the other kingdom, I would call people and angels and however that was, and we would fight, and we would win. But he said, I'm not from that kingdom. I'm from a different kingdom. I'm from the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God where love is. So we should be very careful what we long for or what we desire, because Satan is there, and his desire is to destroy us. The things he offers, they might look good sometimes, but it doesn't matter how good it looks. He sometimes has a lot to offer, but you know what? He has nothing to give. He simply has nothing to give that is worthwhile having. So let's remember that. And it is still his goal. He was trying to destroy it from the very beginning. Even up in heaven, he was trying to destroy things. And this is still what he wants to do. So let's check our longings, our desires. Are they like the world? Or are they of the kingdom of God? Now, in this verse here, one thing I have a desire of, he had that longing that I will seek after. Now, to me, it looks here like that, you know, it just doesn't come automatic. We can't just sit back and just relax and say, he said, I will seek after it. When we have a desire, then we will seek after it. In fact, we will pursue it. We will go after it. We'll go after it. So, if we pursue it or seek for it, we will find it. Christ made this very plain. Christ made this very plain that if we seek, we shall find. If we seek, we shall find. So, if there's something lost, sometimes we put a lot of effort in something that is lost, because it was precious to us, and we pursued it, we went after it, we looked and we looked. And I especially find that as I grow older, I have a habit to, I was texting back and forth with Milo here since I was here yesterday, and I said, I have a camera on my cell camera, and I can't find it anymore. The battery is dead, and so I can't take a picture, and I can't find it anymore. Where is it? And so I gave him the name of the camera, and he texts back a picture of off the farm and where it is, where I have it in the corner, where it is. So I did find it, but I made an effort. Before I text him, I put an effort in. I just said, I did all kinds of things to try to find that camera online, but I couldn't find it. So he knew where it was. So I haven't found it yet, but I'm going there. I'm gonna try to find it again. But the point is we put a lot of effort in when we lose something. We pursue it. We go after it. And this is what David is saying, that I have such a desire, and we have such a desire for God and the things of God. We will pursue it. We will seek after it, and we shall find it. Moses, when he was talking to the children of Israel before they went into the promised land, I'm going to read this a few verses here. And this is when Moses was telling them that when you get there, when you shall beget children and children's children, you shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourself and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish off the land whereunto you go over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathens, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat or nor smell. But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, why did I read that? Moses was prophesying here to the children of Israel, telling them, when you get to the promised land, you will be there for a long time, and you're going to fall away, and you're going to worship graven images. You're going to have other gods, and God is going to destroy you. But see, when we pursue after him, this is what he said in the last verse here that I read, but if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. So, and I'm saying this morning, there is no situation in your life that is so bad that you cannot find the Lord if you desire so. That you cannot find the Lord and that he won't come and help you. This is what he did for the children of Israel. Whatever your situation is this morning, remember that it's not that bad. We're with the Lord. So if somebody is asking you, what are you doing? You're allowed to tell him that I'm pursuing the kingdom of God. That's really what we're doing. We're pursuing the kingdom of God. I think I'll read part of the Proverbs. It's kind of interesting. You have Proverbs in your Sunday school this morning. Back home in our church, we just started the first lesson in Proverbs. We just will go all through Proverbs. We use the Bible to do that. But I'm going to read a proverb here in Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find knowledge of God. And he goes on there, and he talks about discretion and wisdom. But what I wanted to point out here is, incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart. Yeah, if thou criest after, he uses a different word here. He says, if thou criest after and liftest up thy voice, if you seek it like you do silver and searcheth for her as hid treasure. So how do we search? How do we search for that silver? We put a lot of effort, don't we, in that stuff that we need to have. We need to have it, you know. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but he's using it here. If you search for the kingdom of God, if you search for what's right and for that kingdom and the things of that kingdom, he said, just do it that just like you do that way. I thought about that. Jonas was out searching almost all night, I think he said, or a lot. He was searching for a deer. He was pursuing after. That's the picture of what he's saying here. David is saying here that pursue after. I have to tell you that I'm weak in this. So again, I just like to say this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Or what man is there of you? He goes on here in Matthew and says, what man is of you that asks bread? Will he give him his stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him his serpent? If you then, being evil or earthly or here on earth, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that man do to you, do even so to them, for he is the law and the prophets. I wonder why he put that verse right there with the rest of that. But here he says, the God of heaven, if you know how to do these things, how to give children, if your children ask for a piece of bread, you wouldn't give them a stone, would you? If you ask for some meat, you wouldn't, or what does it say there? You wouldn't give them a serpent, or a fish. You wouldn't give them a serpent. You know, I've never thought about that. Debate always comes up about, would you eat a snake? Would you eat snake meat? Now I have something to back myself. No, I wouldn't. He says, I can back myself up with that now for just a little bit, you know, not to eat serpent meat. But no, you wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't. You'd give your children the best. How much more does God in heaven, if you long for it, if you search for it, if you cry after it, that he will give you that. Now, let's go on in this verse. I will seek after. I have a longing. I will pursue it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is what was David's desire, and that we can live in his house here on earth. We can be in his tabernacle, under his pavilion, under his wings. We can be there. This is the best place to be. Again, I want to say this, that his kingdom is the place to be, not the other kingdom. We can stay on his side. And let's again say this, that there's two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom, the worldly kingdom, it will seek his own glory. And what did we read in Sunday school? Something about seeking glory, right? One of the verses said, what was that? A man that seeketh his own glory or something like that? William was looking it up. I think it was probably one of the last verses. It's not glory. The person that searches his own glory, it's not glory. You know, it's not lasting. It's not the glory that is from the kingdom. So the worldly kingdom, that's what they seek. It's not the house. It's not the house of the Lord. But the heavenly kingdom is humility. They operate such a different way. They both have powers. President Trump says, peace through power. And he has it right. But he's using the wrong power. He has it right. He thinks bullets, but the peace that we have is love. That's the power we have, is love. So let's remember that. In the house, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life is really powerful, because it's through love, not through bullets. It is not the power of the military, but it is the power of what? Of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where we get that power. That's where we get the power of love. Here and in eternity. Then he goes and says, so this is, he wants to stay in that house of the Lord all the days of my life. To why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, we can talk about that, behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So if we are in that house, if we have sought after, and if we're in that house, and if we pursued it, and we're in that house, we will see the beauty of the Lord. We talked about the beauty of the Lord this morning. When Jonathan read that psalm, 132, how beautiful it is to dwell in the house with the brethren, that we're in unity. How beautiful that is. This is what he's talking about. This beauty of the Lord. This beauty of the Lord is right here, that we love each other, and that we're together, and that we love. And there's the beauty of the Lord is peace, that we can have peace, joy, rest, that we can be free from guilt, that our conscience is free. Our conscience has made itself free through that house of the Lord. When you go to bed in the evening, the beauty of the Lord is that you don't worry that you might die, that you might not wake up. How peaceful. I remember going to sleep or going to bed and just, you know, worrying that, you know, that I'll die, because I wasn't living in that house. What a beautiful thing. Do not have to worry that you won't wake up, because you're already in the kingdom. You're already in his house. And that you'll just pass in a different room, that you'll just go to a different room. What a beautiful thing. All of the promises. And you know, there's many more things we could talk about the beauty of the Lord. We are his heirs. We are heirs. We're his sons and daughters. And when we move to the other room, to heaven, when we move there, when we look at God, when we'll see God and Christ as they are, I think it's going to be the most beautiful thing you ever seen. I think it's going to be the most peaceful, joyful, rewarding thing you'll ever see. There's all kinds of teachings and people saying that, well, you know, heaven is going to be for me. Heaven is going to be, I'm going to be teaching in heaven. I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that. And it goes on and on and on. If we want that in heaven, I want to be careful. I'm not sure if we're ready to go. I'm just not sure if we understand what we're going to be doing. And if I go into the Word of God, what are the people doing in heaven right now? Their faces are towards God and they're worshiping God. I think that's what we're going to be doing. I think that's what we're going to be doing, and that's going to be blessed, peaceful, and that's enough for us, isn't it? That's what we want to be doing. So let's do it here, too. Let's do it here, too. One more thing he says, that to inquire in his temple, to ask anything of him. And I've touched that. I've touched that already, but often we don't have any answers. We don't have an answer. We talked about backs against the wall, and God is a God. When we pursue after, and when we're in his temple here on earth, there is nothing small or great in your life that you can't ask of God. And David says it here, to be in that temple is to inquire of God. If you're in his kingdom, and you can ask him anything. Of course, that is reasonable. I don't care how great it is or how small it is. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to ask him, because he is God, and he wants to. So, one thing I have, a desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. Let's kneel in prayer.
God, we want to thank you that you made it possible. First, here, that you made it possible that we can be in you. God, that you gave your son, that he came down here, that he died on the cross, that he resurrected, that victory. That he got that victory over the world, over Satan, over the darkness, that we can live in the light. And as the main scripture said, well, one So help us that we have it. I want to pray, God.